Good morning and welcome to Claude Daily. I'm Alex, it's Friday, April 17th, 2026, and we have a genuinely packed show for you today.
Yeah, no kidding. I was looking at the rundown this morning, and there is a lot to get through. Big model news, some really practical use case stuff, and some developer tooling updates that I think are going to make a lot of engineers pretty happy.
So let's just get right into it, because the headline today is one that people have been waiting on for a while. Anthropic officially released Claude Opus 4.7 yesterday, April 16th, and this is not a minor point release. This is a full generational upgrade to what Anthropic considers their flagship model tier.
And when you say flagship, you mean the top of the stack. Opus has always been the most capable model in the Claude lineup, and 4.7 is superseding Opus 4.6, which itself was already a pretty capable system.
Right, exactly. So let's talk about what's actually new, because Anthropic is highlighting three major areas of improvement. The first one is instruction following. Specifically, Opus 4.7 follows user instructions more literally than earlier versions did.
Which sounds almost too simple, right? Like, of course you want a model to follow instructions, but this is actually a really meaningful distinction when you think about how these models have historically worked. Earlier versions would often kind of interpret what you meant, fill in gaps, make assumptions about what you probably wanted, and sometimes that's helpful, but sometimes it's genuinely frustrating.
You're trying to get something done and the model is doing its own thing.
Exactly. You say, give me a list of 5 items, and you get 7 because it thought 7 was better. Or you ask for something in a specific format, and it decides a slightly different format would serve you better. The more literal instruction following in 4.7 means that if you say 5, you get 5.
And that actually compounds with the other improvements in interesting ways. The second big area is visual processing. Opus 4.7 reads images at full resolution now, which allows it to capture small details that might have been lost or degraded in earlier processing pipelines.
This is a bigger deal than it might sound. So, when earlier model versions processed images, there was effectively a downsampling step, or at least resolution constraints, that meant very fine print, small labels, intricate diagrams. Those kinds of things could get blurry or just missed entirely. Full resolution means the model is working with the actual pixel data you're giving it.
And we're going to get into some of the use cases that this unlocks in a minute, because there are some really compelling examples of what you can actually do with that. But first, the third major improvement, adaptive extended thinking.
Okay, so this one I want to make sure we explain clearly, because extended thinking is a term that's been floating around AI circles for a while, and I don't want to assume everyone knows what it means.
Fair point. So, extended thinking, in Claude's context, refers to the model's ability to essentially reason through a problem step by step before giving you a final answer. Kind of like showing its work, or working through a problem internally in more depth than a quick response would allow.
Right. And in previous versions, you had to manually configure that. You'd have to explicitly tell the model, hey, I want you to use extended thinking on this, which means you had to know in advance whether your question warranted it. And a lot of users either didn't know to do that or got it wrong, turned it on for simple stuff that didn't need it, or forgot to turn it on for complex stuff that really could have benefited.
And 4.7 just handles that automatically.
Exactly. Adaptive extended thinking means the model is calibrating the depth of its reasoning based on what the problem actually requires. Simple question, quick answer. Complex, multi-step reasoning problem, the model dials up the thinking automatically.
Which from a user experience standpoint is kind of a big deal because it removes a whole layer of configuration burden. You don't have to be a power user to get the most capable version of the model on hard problems.
Right, the model meets the problem where it is. And I think that's philosophically interesting too. It's a step toward a system that's more like a thoughtful collaborator and less like a tool you have to know how to operate correctly.
Well said. And look, Putting all three of those improvements together, more literal instruction following, full resolution image reading, adaptive reasoning depth, you start to see why Anthropic is calling this a significant generational upgrade rather than just a tune-up.
Yeah, these aren't independent features either. They compound. More literal instruction following, plus better image understanding means that when you give the model very specific visual tasks, it actually does what you asked with the full detail of the image. And then the adaptive thinking on top of that means complex visual reasoning problems get the deeper processing they need automatically.
And that brings us perfectly to the use cases, because Anthropic put out two really concrete examples of what Opus 4.7 can do with these capabilities, and they're both worth walking through.
So the first one, and I have to say, as someone who spent a lot of time as a student and has family members who are teachers, this one hit me differently, is using Opus 4.7 as essentially a differentiated instruction engine for educators.
Explain what that means, because differentiated instruction is an education term that not everyone is going to be familiar with.
Sure. So differentiated instruction is a teaching approach where you take the same core learning material and you adapt it for different learners, different reading levels, different learning styles, students who need more scaffolding versus students who can handle advanced material. It's considered best practice in education, but it is genuinely labor-intensive to do well. A teacher serving a classroom with a wide range of reading levels might need to produce the same lesson at 3 or 4 different versions.
And historically, that's just hours of work.
Hours and hours. And a lot of teachers don't have that time. So either differentiation doesn't happen, or it's pretty shallow. What Anthropic is demonstrating here is that you can take a single photographed or scanned page from a textbook, just take a picture of it, and Opus 4.7 will produce a full suite of classroom-ready materials calibrated to distinct learner profiles, slide decks, reading handouts, multiple versions at different reading levels, all while maintaining consistent learning objectives across all the versions.
And the full resolution image processing is what makes that work cleanly.
Exactly. A textbook page has a lot going on. There's body text, there are captions, there are diagrams, sidebars, maybe footnotes. If the model is working from a degraded image, it might miss the caption, miss the sidebar, and the adapted material ends up incomplete. Full resolution means it catches all of it.
And the more literal instruction following means that if an educator says, "Give me a version at a 3rd grade reading level and a version at an 8th grade reading level," that's exactly what they get. Not the model's interpretation of what accessible means, but the specific reading levels requested.
Right. And I think the deeper implication here is significant. This isn't just a productivity tool. If this actually works as described, and the use cases Anthropic publishes are generally pretty carefully vetted, this is potentially addressing an equity gap in education. Students who've historically gotten a one-size-fits-all lesson because their teacher didn't have time for more could actually get material calibrated to where they are.
That's a real thing. Okay, the second use case is a little more enterprise-flavored, but also really interesting. This is about using Opus 4.7 to audit folders of visual assets against brand guidelines.
Yeah, and this one will resonate with anyone who's worked in marketing, design, or any kind of organization with a brand standards document, which is most organizations of any real size.
So the scenario is, you have a large folder of marketing materials, design exports, whatever, images, graphics, documents, and you need to check all of them against your brand guidelines to find violations. Off-brand colors, outdated logos, missing legal copy, that kind of thing.
And the traditional way to do that is either a human reviews everything, which is slow and expensive and inconsistent, or you have some kind of automated rules-based system, which is brittle and can't handle nuance.
What Opus 4.7 is doing here is reading the actual images at full resolution, and we're talking about potentially a large folder of visual assets. and then producing categorized lists of violations with confidence ratings attached.
The confidence ratings are key, because a brand audit that just gives you a binary yes or no on every asset isn't that useful. What you actually want is, this one is a clear violation, this one is probably fine, this one is uncertain and needs human review. That tiering lets you triage the work intelligently.
And this is running in what Anthropic is calling the Claude Cowork environment, which is their environment for these kinds of structured multi-step task workflows.
Right. And again, the full resolution image processing is the thing that makes this non-trivial. If you're auditing for off-brand colors, you need to actually see the colors accurately. If you're checking for an outdated logo, you need to be able to read the logo at sufficient detail to distinguish the old version from the new version. That requires actual image fidelity.
And then the adaptive extended thinking means that complex cases, like an asset where it's not obvious whether the color is in brand or not, where the model needs to actually reason about the brand guidelines and compare them carefully, those get deeper processing automatically.
You know what strikes me about both of these use cases? They're both fundamentally about taking something that was previously expensive in human time and attention, either teacher prep time or brand compliance review time, and making it tractable. These aren't toy demos. These are real workflows that real organizations spend real money on.
And the fact that they're both visual, both leaning hard on that full resolution image capability, suggests that Anthropic is really trying to signal that 4.7 is where you go when you have demanding visual work.
Yeah, I think that's the positioning. Opus has always been the model you reach for when the task is genuinely hard and you need the most capable thing available. And now that most capable thing can see better.
So let's shift over to the developer side of things, because there's been a bunch of documentation updates and new features in Claude Code, Anthropic's agentic coding assistant, and they paint a pretty clear picture of where that product is heading.
And Claude Code has been moving fast. It feels like every couple of weeks there's something new there.
The first one is actually a documentation update rather than a feature, but I think it's worth mentioning because it signals something about where Claude Code is in its maturity. Anthropic has published a dedicated error reference page for Claude Code that systematically catalogs runtime errors across all the surfaces of the platform: the command line interface, the desktop app, and the web interface.
Which might sound boring, but is actually a tell.
Say more.
So when a software product gets a proper error reference documentation page, like a real one, categorized with recovery procedures, that means the product has reached a point where it's being used seriously enough in production that the error handling matters. Early stage developer tools don't bother with this. You put out a proper error reference when you have real users hitting real errors in real workflows and you need them to be able to self-service.
Production grade tooling has production grade docs.
Exactly. And the fact that they've categorized these errors, server errors, usage limits, authentication issues, network problems, request errors, that structure tells you they've gone through and actually thought about the failure modes systematically. That's engineering maturity.
The second thing is bigger from a day-to-day usability standpoint. Anthropic has released a VS Code extension for Claude Code that provides a native graphical interface integrated directly into the integrated development environment.
And I want to be specific about what native means here, because it matters. VS Code is already the most popular code editor in the world. There's been integration between various AI tools and VS Code for a while now, GitHub Copilot being the obvious example. But what Anthropic is doing with this extension is going well beyond autocomplete or a chat sidebar.
Right. This is more like having Claude Code, the full agentic coding assistant, living inside VS Code rather than in a separate terminal window.
And there are some specific features here that I think are going to matter a lot to developers who actually adopt this. The ability to review and edit Claude's plans before accepting them is a big one. So Claude doesn't just go off and make changes. It shows you what it intends to do. You can modify that plan and then it executes. That's a meaningful control mechanism.
You're keeping a human in the loop at a key decision point.
Right? And then there's auto accept for when you trust it and you want to just let it run, plus the ability to mention files with specific line ranges. So you can say, hey, look at this file, specifically lines 40 through 80, not the whole thing. That kind of precise context specification is really useful for large code bases, where you don't want to throw everything at the model at once.
And it's compatible with VS Code and also VS Code forks, which is meaningful because there are a number of popular forks out there that developers use.
Yeah, that's good ecosystem hygiene, not forcing people to switch editors to get access to the full feature set.
The third piece, and this is the one I've been most curious about, is remote control. This is a new feature that lets you connect a Claude Code session running on your local machine to the web interface or the mobile app.
Okay, so explain the problem this is solving, because I think the setup here matters.
Sure, so Claude Code is a local tool. It runs on your machine. It has access to your local files, your local development environment. That's part of the value proposition. But that also means you're tied to that machine. If you're at your desk with your laptop and you start a Claude Code session working on something, and then you need to leave, you grab your phone, you go get coffee, whatever. That session is just sitting there. You can't continue it from your phone.
And for a long-running agentic session where Claude is working through a complex codebase problem, that's actually a real friction point.
Remote control addresses that by synchronizing your local Claude Code session across all connected devices. So you start the session on your laptop, you connect your phone through the Claude mobile app or the web interface, and you can continue that conversation and see what's happening from your phone.
And the key thing here, the thing that I think is actually the clever architectural decision, is that the computation stays on the local machine. This is not cloud proxied processing. The Claude Code session is still running on your laptop. Your local machine is still doing the work, still accessing your files. The remote device is just a window into that session.
Which has some real implications for privacy and security-conscious developers. If you're working on proprietary code and you're worried about that code leaving your machine, this design means your code doesn't leave your machine. The computation happens locally. The remote interface just shows you what's happening.
That's a meaningful trust boundary, and I think that's intentional. Anthropic has been pretty thoughtful about the trust architecture of Claude Code from the beginning. Local execution has been part of the pitch, and remote control is extending that philosophy rather than compromising it.
There's also automatic reconnection. So if your connection drops, you go through a tunnel, your Wi-Fi cuts out, the session reconnects automatically.
Which matters because a dropped connection in the middle of an agentic coding session could be genuinely disruptive. If Claude is in the middle of refactoring something and the session just dies, you've got a mess. Automatic reconnect means the session stays coherent.
Putting these three things together, the error reference documentation, the VS Code extension, and remote control, it really feels like Anthropic is methodically filling in the gaps to make Claude Code a serious professional tool rather than an impressive demo.
Yeah. Error docs mean you can operate it reliably. VS Code integration means it lives where developers already work. Remote control means it fits into how modern developers actually live and work, which is across multiple devices, not always at a desk. These are table stakes features for a professional tool, and Anthropic is checking those boxes.
And it's all happening while the underlying model is getting better. Like, these tooling improvements are compounding on top of Opus 4.7's improvements in instruction following. A coding assistant that follows instructions more literally is a more trustworthy coding assistant.
Oh, that's a really good point. The more literal instruction following story for Opus 4.7 is maybe even more important in a coding context than in a general use context. Because in code, doing exactly what you were asked to do, rather than what you probably meant, is often genuinely better. Code has to be precise. You don't want the model freelancing.
You ask it to refactor this function and only this function, and it refactors only that function.
Right. not three related functions, because it figured you'd probably want that too.
So stepping back for a second, if you were to characterize today's news in a single sentence, what would you say?
I'd say Anthropic is threading the needle between making the most capable model more capable and making it more controllable at the same time, which is actually a harder trick than it sounds.
Say more about that.
So there's often been this implicit tension in AI development between capability and controllability. More capable models sometimes mean less predictable models. They're more likely to do their own thing, to interpret, to embellish. And the history of large language model development has a lot of cases where increased capability came with decreased adherence to what the user actually asked for.
Because the model is being clever.
Right? Being too clever. And what Anthropic seems to be doing with 4.7 is saying, you can have both. More capability, better image processing, deeper and more adaptive reasoning, and more control. More literal instruction following. The model does more, but it does exactly what you asked it to do.
And the adaptive extended thinking is almost the clearest expression of that philosophy. The model is doing more sophisticated reasoning internally, but it's calibrating that sophistication to what you actually need, rather than always being in maximum reasoning mode or always being in quick answer mode.
It's like the difference between a contractor who uses their expertise to figure out the best way to execute your instructions versus one who uses their expertise to figure out what you probably should have asked for. The first one is useful. The second one is frustrating.
I love that analogy. Okay, we should probably start wrapping up. Any final thoughts before we sign off?
Yeah, I keep coming back to the educator use case, honestly. The textbook differentiation thing. I know we covered it in the use cases section, but it's the one that's been sitting with me through the whole show, because there are millions of teachers right now who are spending their Sunday nights rewriting the same material three times to serve different students in their class. And this is a genuine shortcut to doing that well. Not a shortcut to cutting corners, but a shortcut to doing it properly. That matters.
It does. And I think the Visual Asset Audit 1 is going to matter a lot to the marketing and design world in ways that maybe aren't as emotionally resonant, but are very practically significant. Brand compliance at scale is a real pain point for a lot of organizations.
Oh, totally. Any large company, any franchise system, any organization with multiple people producing marketing materials, they have this problem and they're currently solving it badly or expensively.
All right, that is going to do it for today's Claude Daily. We covered Opus 4.7 and its three major capability upgrades, the educator and brand auditing use cases that show what those upgrades unlock, and the Claude Code developer tooling improvements, including the error reference documentation, the VS Code extension, and the new remote control feature.
Big day. Good stuff. Have a great Friday, everyone.
Thanks for listening to Claude Daily. We're back Monday morning with whatever Anthropic has been up to over the weekend, and knowing them, it won't be nothing. Take care of yourselves, and we'll see you then.
See you Monday.